back on your discipline to make it fair, that's ultimately not fair to the child who behaves better. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi.
This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy September. It's Friday, September 1st, 2017. Good to be with you on Catholic Connection, coast to coast and around the globe. And so grateful for all of your comments on our coverage this week here all over EWTN, whether it's EWTN News Nightly, whether it's this program or many others, whether it's the National Catholic Register, Morning Glory, Sunrise Morning Show. We've all been working hard to keep you updated, of course, on the Catholic perspective of this disaster that's hit our country. But beauty and love and God continue to shine through with so many stories of heroism and support. A beautiful story of a little boy, and I posted this on my Facebook page last night. Bless his little heart, on his own went to his mom and said he wanted to do something, 5 years old, for the victims of Hurricane Harvey, and he had a little lemonade stand and raised $400. 5 years old. Wow. Just stories like this continue to pour in, and we'll continue our coverage of the Hurricane Harvey situation and what's happening and how we can help and make a difference. Not only in, of course, Texas, but also in Louisiana, Mississippi, but Texas just ravaged by the hurricane. And as Governor Abbott said, things could get worse in particular areas. That's why he's calling for a day of prayer today. And the president tweeted out this really cool tweet with a photo of the Fort Worth Police Department in a big circle praying. Yeah. Praise God. And I'm so glad that they're doing that and not afraid to be witnesses to the faith and to call on God and to show the world what that means and what that looks like. And how about all these stories of the Cajun Navy? Just amazing people. And they have a whole system, as Dan said yesterday. Dan Sines was on with us. Of course, he's just a very faithful Catholic man. He and his family are now living temporarily in Nebraska trying to assess their situation, if you heard his interview yesterday. But he and his wife are working closely with the Cajun Navy to help them coordinate their rescue efforts, and just beautiful stories of faith, hope, and love in the midst of tragedy. And we understand that God is with us every step of the way. We'll talk about that this morning. And very thankful for Doug Keck hanging with us, because we were emailing back and forth yesterday, and I said, Doug, I really want you on this morning. I know we're still covering all this with Harvey. He said, no, you don't need me. But I want his perspective to talk about the Catholic radio impact, because Joe McClain, the station manager, is going to be joining us this morning. Of course, he's been greatly affected by the floods as well. He's down in Houston as a GM there, shared his story earlier this week. But with the two of them together giving their different perspectives, and Doug being able to see the whole picture from across the radio chain and how the affiliates are really digging in and trying to help the folks down in Texas and the affected areas. I think it'll be a fascinating interview with the two of them. Of course, Doug Keck is our president and chief operating officer of EWTN. And also, EWTN just doing a great job in terms of calling for prayer, having rosaries, and we'll get the latest on Doug from that as well. So that's coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. And then, thanks to Corey from the Archdiocese of New Orleans, who set up an interview for us with Father Tim Hedrick, who is working to get together an 18-wheeler and fill it up with goods to send to the Lone Star State for the victims of Hurricane Harvey. He's an amazing, dynamic priest who's also been ministering to Steve Scalise, of course, a congressman who was shot earlier this summer. And Father Tim will be joining us at 28 minutes past hour. Then we'll wrap up a Friday morning with the kayaking priest. Father David Bergeron from the Companions of the Cross is going to be back with us, giving us his perspective on the ground in terms of what's it like for the religious there in terms of how they're doing whatever they can to minister to Catholics in the affected area. So it's going to be a busy hour. I do hope that you can stay tuned for the entire program. And we're also going to be talking about a wonderful interview that Dr. Matthew Bunsen did with Cardinal DiNardo, and I believe we should be getting some clips from that this morning, and we'll try to play that with you. But that's on Register Radio with Dr. Matthew Bunsen and His Eminence Cardinal DiNardo from, of course, the Archdiocese of Houston-Galveston. and we'll give you the information on how you can find that. I'm sure Doug will have the details as well. Already 4 minutes past the hour on a Friday morning, the start of the unofficial end of summer this Labor Day weekend. Let's see what's happening on a Friday morning. Well, of course, a big story is still Harvey. Vice President Mike Pence says he is inspired by the strength and resilience of the storm victims down in Texas.
And every American should know that even in this difficult time, in this disastrous storm, the very best of the people of Texas and the very best of the people of America is shining forth.
After viewing flood damages yesterday, Pence saying the federal government is fully committed to helping Texas recover from Harvey. He called Harvey an historic and humbling storm that posed a dire threat to millions. During a news conference with Pence in Corpus Christi, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, said average Texans have performed heroically. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders says President Trump has tentative plans to visit Texas and Louisiana tomorrow.
Tentatively, he plans to be in the Houston area of Texas and possibly Lake Charles, Louisiana. But again, varying on conditions, that may change a little bit.
During a briefing yesterday, she noted that First Lady Melania Trump will join her husband on the trip to assess Harvey flood relief efforts. The president visiting Texas earlier this week on Tuesday. In the meantime, Sanders also said President Trump pledging $1 million from his own personal funds to Harvey relief efforts. She said a specific charity has not been selected yet. And as Mark Mayfield reports, the Trump administration is expected to ask Congress for at least $5.5 billion for Hurricane Harvey relief.
NBC News reports that $5 billion of that will be for the FEMA Disaster Relief Fund and the rest for a small business loan fund. It's estimated that Harvey could end up costing $160 billion. Those estimates bear out. It would be the most expensive natural disaster ever. President Trump and Vice President Pence have urged Congress to act quickly to pass an aid package when they return from their August recess next week.
Meanwhile, the FEMA National Flood Insurance Program ends on September 30th, unless, as Mayfield reports, that Congress votes to renew it. Thousands of people who lost everything in Hurricane Harvey will be looking to the program for help.
All my assets in my house, all gone, and no insurance.
That's Houston resident Ruben Amador, but he's not alone. FEMA estimating that 83% of Harvey victims don't have flood insurance, meaning they will depend on the federal government for funds to rebuild. The agency is recommending those impacted by the storm take pictures of everything the moment they return to their flooded homes. Then they should file claims with their insurance companies or FEMA if they don't have flood insurance to get the rebuilding process underway. The National Flood Insurance Program already $25 billion in debt, and Congress will face, as you heard, a battle to renew the program when they return to Washington next week. Now, with the recovery efforts from Harvey just getting underway, really, as Bill Zemfer reports, another powerful storm is on the radar.
Storm trackers are closely watching Hurricane Irma, now a Category 3 storm in the mid-Atlantic. The system has the potential to become a Category 5 hurricane sometime next week. Predictions on the track of the storm still unclear. Some models have the monster entering the Gulf of Mexico, possibly making landfall in Louisiana. Others have it targeting the Carolina coast, while some have it curling away from the East Coast altogether. It'll be closely watched over the holiday weekend. A Category 5 storm hasn't hit the United States since Hurricane Andrew in 1992.
Gas prices are up across the country in the wake of Harvey. Tamara Johnson with AAA saying the storm is having a significant impact on refineries, ports, and transportation, resulting in increased costs at the pump. She says drivers across the nation will likely see a 10 to 15% gallon increase, with prices higher around the Gulf Coast. Prices already up an average of 10 cents a gallon, but Johnson believes prices should stabilize before October. In other news this morning, surveillance video shows Phoenix police being targeted by protesters at President Trump's recent rally long before officers responded with tear gas. Police releasing a compilation of video from different sources, with Sergeant John Howard saying clearly this shows officers not deploying anything against the crowd until some troublemakers, he says, try to breach police lines.
Officers are using pepper balls. They're targeting only those people actively engaged in violence. What they're also doing is they're not using them as impact weapons at this point. They're using them to disperse powder. That's why they're striking the ground.
He says the videos back up the statements by the police chief that officers did not take action against protesters until those protesters had already been targeting the police. The State Department's ban on travel to North Korea taking effect today. The ban covers U.S. passport holders. Humanitarian workers and reporters can apply for exemptions. The ban announced after the death of American college student Otto Wambier, the Ohio man imprisoned during a tour of North Korea last year. Tensions between the U.S. and North Korea on the rise, of course, as North Korea continues aggressive efforts to build nuclear weapons. And a judge is expected to decide today whether there is enough evidence for a jury trial in the death of a Penn State frat pledge from New Jersey. 18 Penn State frat brothers accused of causing the February death of Tim Piazza by pressuring him to drink heavily and then failing to call for help after he fell down the frat house stairs. Defense attorneys argue the actions did not constitute criminal behavior. Some of the young men facing charges of involuntary manslaughter and aggravated assault in the death of the 19-year-old from Pennsylvania. An Evangelical Christian Coalition's statement on marriage, sexuality, and gender identity, as EWTNNews.com reports, is largely in line with Catholic thought, according to one commentator. Stephen White, a fellow at the Catholic Studies Program at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, telling EWTN the language of the document is clearly evangelical, but, again, its articles are largely in line with Catholic understanding of human sexuality as well as sexual morality. The Nashville statement was published by the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood after endorsement in Nashville by more than 150 evangelical Christian leaders last week. As Western culture has become increasingly post-Christian, the statement says, it has embarked upon a massive revision of what it means to be a human being. By and large, the spirit of our age, the statement reads, no longer discerns or delights in the beauty of God's design for human life. It went on to say that many deny that God created human beings for his glory and that his good purpose for us include our personal and physical design as male and female. It's common to think that human identity as male and female is not part of God's beautiful plan, but is rather an expression of an individual, autonomous preference. A new study suggests Catholics and Protestants, meanwhile, are getting along much better than they ever have before. Pew Research Center says the scars from the Reformation have almost completely healed, with members of both sects of Christianity saying they accept the other side as neighbors or family members. The study, focusing mainly on European countries, also finding Protestants and Catholics were closer in beliefs than originally thought. 12 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a blessed beginning of the month of September. It's Friday, September 1st, 2017. It's Catholic Connection coast to coast on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're also around the world as well. And it's co-produced, of course, by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. We will open up the phone lines during this break. The number 877-573-7825, Doug Keck. And also Joe McLean from our Houston radio affiliate up next. Stay tuned on a Friday.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Would you be willing to hand out rosaries on the street corner? St. Paul Street evangelists are. Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton. Join me on Power from the Pews when I interview Bob Wilson from St. Paul's Street Evangelization as to why and how he does it. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values.
The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Fund is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Catholic Connection, Friday, September 1st. Phone lines are open if you'd like to just share your thoughts or offer prayers for our brothers and sisters in the affected area of Hurricane Harvey. 877-573-7825. Grateful for Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer, of course, of EWTN, along with Joe McClain, who's a General Manager of the Houston affiliate through our wonderful brothers and sisters at Guadalupe Radio Network in Texas. And Doug, first of all, I know you just wanted to say hello to Joe real quick, but I'm so grateful that both of you could join us this morning. Thanks
right.
so much.
Well, I appreciate you still having me on, and I just wanted to mention to you before we got into the talking about things that are serious is that I think it's your birthday, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You're sweet.
Wow.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
So I wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
And that many, many muchos años, as they would say. So anyway, yeah, I think, you know, all of us really appreciate, you know, it's really great to see. And I saw it here in Alabama a number of years ago with the devastation of those tornadoes, how Americans, and I mean Americans, and people, humanity, come out and you see the best. You see a little tinge of the worst here and there, but it's such a small minority of the great people who step out and go out there and help people. Like I remember mentioning on Father Spitzer's show, Joe, we asked for a prayer on Wednesday. Father Spitzer said a prayer. We even asked him a question about, you know, how do you explain to people who have to suffer like this, you know, because we're talking about suffering on the show, the idea of, you know, why me? Why did it happen to me? Why not the person down the block? Did I do anything wrong? How do I make use of this suffering? Is this something God wanted to happen, et cetera, those kind of situations. But you see people like that police officer, I think he might have been a sergeant, who went out on his own when he didn't have to and ended up drowning. That story. And I'm sure there's many, many others that we just haven't heard yet, and we will probably hear, unfortunately, in some ways in the coming weeks, as it comes clear with the devastation. But the fact that in that suffering, in that, you see the best part of people come forward as neighbors from all over the country, and it really cuts through this baloney that gets put out there about how divided we as Americans really are, and our hats are off. You know, you don't mess with Texas. We know that, and we're all very proud of the way Houstonians and the people in the surrounding areas have responded to this tragedy.
Yeah, Joe, your thoughts this morning, not only listening to Doug, but you were with us earlier this week. What's the latest? How are you doing?
Yeah, praise be to Jesus again. Happy birthday, and thank you for having me on this morning. You know, Houston is not out of this yet. We are mostly in recovery mode, but there is still folks you know, suffering quite a bit here. Many, many folks, thousands of Houstonians are still in shelters and being moved to more permanent shelters. As we speak, the Barker and Addicks reservoirs on the west side of Houston are still draining, and they have to have them drained because if they left water in them and we got another storm, you know, if Irma hit us, we would be in real, you know, difficult situations. Mm-hmm. So they have to drain those, which means the Buffalo Bayou from the west side of town, moving all the way downtown and past and east and out to the bay, that's all going to remain at flood stage. And so I was over there, I think it was day before yesterday, in 6 feet of water, standing on top of a drowned pickup truck, trying to help the law enforcement and the Cajun Navy with a rescue and helping some folks recover stuff from their home. And it's a very tragic situation. There's a section of the highway with 50-plus feet of water on top of it.
Wow.
You know, it's just a devastated area, and they continue to be devastated. The Fort Bend County, which is the southwest side of Houston, is still, they're not letting people back in over there. I mean, the only way you're allowed to stay over there is if you're in high ground and you're dry. If you're wet, they pull you out, and they're not letting you back. Richwood is under an evacuation order still. That's off the Brazos River. That's still flooding. So Some parts, a lot of parts are recovering and they're cleaning out. We helped some folks clean out part of their flooded home yesterday. So it's, the recovery mode is happening. However, it's still a very precarious situation. So one of the things that we're doing is one of the big needs that we have is not necessarily water and food. A lot of that's being taken care of, or like eat clothes. We don't really need clothes. One thing we could use is like dehumidifiers, huge industrial-sized fans to help dry out these homes. And my good buddy Ryan Delacrosse from Fuzati has been just doing a heroic job of helping folks and trying to raise money and buying fans personally and helping these people out. He's got a webpage set up for the relief fund at missionofhope.org. Let me just start over. Missionsofhope.org. Missionsofhope.org.
So that's plural. Missionsofhope.org. Okay.
Yeah, and he's buying these big, huge air movers, these fans, and having truckloads brought in of these fans so that we can air out these homes and help them save what they have. So it's a tragic situation down here. But at the same time, I like what Doug said, you know, Houston's strong. And this has been an opportunity for humans to help humans no matter who they are. And we've been seeing that in spades. And it is very inspirational. In my own neighborhood, there are neighbors cooking up meals for the entire neighborhood and feeding everybody. And then Subway is donated and HEB is donated and all these people are donating food and supplies. So it is very inspirational. We're also trying to bring in priests. At the Guadalupe Radio Network, we're trying to bring in some priests to assist the Archdiocese performing Mass and hearing, or rather celebrating Mass and hearing confessions at the shelters, and so we're working on that as well. But I hate to run. I have got to run. There's another thing I have to go do, but Teresa, thank you for keeping the information coming towards your listeners, and thank you for praying for us. It's really meant a great deal to us.
God bless you. So welcome. Thank you for taking the time out of, I'm sure, is a crazy day every day, but God love you, and keep the station on the air. We're praying for you. We're going to let you go. Thanks, Joe. God bless you.
God bless you both. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Doug, I wanted to talk a little bit about what EWTN is doing. I know that Raymond did a great interview with the Cardinal. I believe Dr. Bunsen also did one. Of course, EWTN News Nightly has been all over this. Yeah.
I know Ray also did an interview with one of the local congressmen down there with the focus, I know, in his interview about talking about what his local parish was doing, et cetera, kind of tying into what Joe was talking about on our particular Catholic angle. Obviously, we've been promoting, you know, asking for prayers. The priests have talked about it on the air. We've been promoting, among others, but certainly the Knights of Columbus are one of the avenues people can support. And since we have a great relationship with the Knights, I'm a Knight. Many of us thought that that was at least initially one of the best ways to go. But obviously, that much more local, the one that Joe was talking about is another option and opportunity. EWTN News Nightly, Wyatt Goolsby's from Texas.
Wow.
He's been down there basically all week reporting from the Houston area. So, again, we're trying to keep the information in the front of people's minds. I think it's always important, like Joe was saying, is what we all know is everybody rushes to the scene of an accident and then it's kind of over and everybody forgets about it. And meanwhile, you know, what happened there will take years for recovery, and it's really important that we not forget. And it's also important for, like what he said, too, is to focus on the things that people actually need. That's where I think what he was talking about, that side, or even the Knights of Columbus, if you give money to those organizations you trust and you count on, and obviously the Knights are in Houston already, they're on the ground in all the parishes, they're part of the grassroots, it's a great way to support. And they can then take your money and buy what they need, even though it's wonderful to say, here's a case of water or here's, you know, these clothes I've got. But like you said, it turns out that's not really what our need may be at any given time. And so, and subsidiarity, what's about. It's really about what the people there need. So our prayers are with them. They continue to be with them, like I said, and we'll continue to cover it, and we appreciate, you know, Joe and the whole Guadalupe team, obviously. Our prayers go out to all the people who suffered and the people who've lost their lives and people whose lives will be changed forever.
Yeah. It's up to 37 now, Doug, I think the death toll is the last number I heard this morning. So, you know, God love those poor people and their families. But I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to talk about this on the air from a Catholic perspective and to share such moments of beautiful faith. And that's why I'm so grateful to the folks at, well, you and everyone who allows us to do this every single day on the radio. So thanks for all you're doing. And I would just recommend that people, again, we've been telling them to tune in every day and to watch EWTN News nightly, to go to the main website of EWTN.com. EWTNNews.com has had some great stories. Of course, the Register. We are on this, and we are covering this from a truly Catholic perspective, and nothing better than that. Doug, listen, you have a great weekend, and thank you for all you do and for coming on with us today. I know you were very humble and gracious and said, no, I don't need to be on, but I wanted your perspective so people could see the big picture of what we're trying to do here at the network with this.
Right. And just remind people, our family celebrations next week if you happen to be in the Northeast.
Okay. And that will be a lot to celebrate, of course, the great work of EWTN. Thanks, my friend. Have a great weekend. Doug Keck, of course, President and Chief Operating Officer of the network. And God bless Joe McClain and, of course, the staff at our Houston radio affiliate, KSHJ, as in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and all of our friends at Guadalupe Radio. We'll be right back. Father Tim Hedrick from New Orleans is going to be joining us. Stay tuned.
If you've enjoyed Father John Ricardo's gift of teaching and preaching in the past, his new book, Heaven Starts Now, is the book for you. In his inspiring and incisive way, Father John addresses the obstacles we all face in becoming mature disciples. How do we learn to forgive? How do we combat fear and understand suffering? How do we worship the Lord, love others, and surrender our lives to God? How do we become saints day by day? Order online at AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab. That's AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab.
As a mother, I have learned to become careful with my words. In Proverbs, it says that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. As a parent, are you speaking words that bring light and help your children grow, or are they words that darken the spirit? Are we using words to build people up or destroy them? Are they filled with hate or love, bitterness or blessings, complaining or compliments, victory or defeat? Words are tools that can be used to lift someone up or beat them down. Our words shape the lives of our children and our own future. I said to my daughter one night that God had loved her so much and that He had great plans for her future. He does? I did not know that, Mama. He does, I said. You just have to always trust Him. Love you, Mama. Love you, baby. And just like that, she closed her eyes and fell asleep with a smile on her face. May our words always bring others joy and peace. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Dunn-Hagarmo, a communications evangelist.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, Susan Pilarski, in remembrance of her parents, Edward and Rose Pilarski, on what would have been their birthday today. May God bless their souls and let them see His face in heaven. You are loved and missed by Michael, Susan, Joseph, and Janice.
Phone lines are open if you'd like to share your thoughts and prayers, and maybe you have a question that's crossed your mind about a faith perspective of Hurricane Harvey. 877-573-7825. Thanks to Corey from the Archdiocese of New Orleans, who shared with us some great resources, some great folks to speak with, including our next guest, Father Tim Hedrick, who is with the Archdiocese of New Orleans at St. Catherine Parish, whose family went through Katrina. He was living in Baton Rouge at the time, but who also right now has already filled up how many trucks, Father, and you're trying to do more. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. We've already filled up two trucks, two 60-foot 18-wheelers in the last 3 days. We're going to take a little break because of Labor Day, and then we're going to start up again next week. And we have unlimited trucks. As long as we have supplies, we'll keep filling the trucks up.
Now, how did you get a hold of these trucks? With whom are you working to make this happen?
About a year ago, when there was a storm that went through Baton Rouge, and Baton Rouge experienced a lot of flooding, one of our parishioners came up to me and said, we need to do something. His name was James Carter. And I was like, okay, what do you want to do? He's like, well, let's collect stuff and bring it to Baton Rouge. I said, well, how am I going to do that? We don't have a truck. And he, aside from owning a car dealership, he also has a trucking company. So he donated a truck. We quickly filled that up. And then we found someone else in our parish who had a second 18-wheeler. So last year we did two 18-wheelers for Baton Rouge. And then this year, as soon as the storm happened, the same guy stepped forward and said, we have to do this. But then a freight company actually contacted us and said, you have unlimited trucks. You let me know, and I'll bring them.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's been overwhelming how generous people have been. Because as soon as we need all these trucks, then we need pallets, and we need shrink wrap to wrap all the stuff on the pallets. And we need a forklift. The local grocery store let us borrow their forklift to load all these pallets onto the truck. It's just been a total community effort to make this happen.
So, Father, you've seen the devastation from Katrina. Your family lived through that. You were talking to me about that during the break. And now we're here in the midst of another disaster. What is it like to be a priest and to minister in these types of situations?
It's a great opportunity. It's very powerful to be able to speak words of comfort, and also not just to speak the words of comfort, but to actually provide help for those who are in need. Yesterday, we were doing relief efforts all day, and this guy from Houston actually showed up. His name was Josh Davis, and his house was flooded in Houston, and he could not get back to his house, so he came to New Orleans because his company has an office here. And when he saw on the news that we were helping out, he came and spent the entire day helping our volunteers, who are ultimately helping the people in Houston. And so I was able to talk to him and to offer him encouragement and tell him, you know, my parents went through this. They were able to rebuild. There is hope. You know, sometimes it can be overwhelming when you lose everything. And so it's very powerful to be able to speak that words of comfort, to be there and to support them during these difficult times.
And, of course, the naysayers would say, where is God in all of this? And he is right there with us, just like he was at the cross. Right.
Absolutely. You know, God uses, as Mother Teresa, we are his hands and his feet. And there have been many hands and feet here in the Archdiocese helping out, because we know what it's like. And we want to be there for others the way they were there for us when we went through Katrina.
In terms of what the people are saying when they're showing up to help, what's on their hearts when they're talking to you about this? In addition to the man who came over from of course, Texas, who was flooded out.
Right. Everyone who shows up is, what do you need? What can I do? How can I help? What stuff have you not gotten yet? So every day when I post an update on our Facebook page, I'll say, okay, well, we're short on baby food. Well, the very next day we had a ton of baby food. Or then I talked to a priest in Houston who said we really need box fans and wet vacs to start cleaning up things. So I posted that online yesterday, and we'll start getting those kind of supplies. So people are just totally open to whatever the needs are. They're ready to help, and they're just, you know, obviously their hearts go out to everyone who was affected by the storm, because they know what it's like. And so I think there's just love in their hearts, and then an openness and a generosity to whatever can be done to help these people.
You know what I pray about a lot, Father, when I see some of these very negative comments from people who don't believe. There was a horrible editorial cartoon that is now making the rounds. I believe it was on Politico, where the cartoonist, there was a person saying, oh, it's an angel from God. And then the response was, no, actually, it's just the Coast Guard. So mocking people of faith. And I'm thinking, you know, Lord, help that person. And you know, how sad. It's almost as if they are threatened by the beauty. And you see, you know, Governor Abbott calling for a day of prayer today, and you see the Fort Worth Police Department, the president texted out this really cool picture of them in a big circle and praying together. And what are people so scared of, Father? You know?
Right. I'm not sure what they're scared of, but I know I can look at all the things that have happened, and people can say, well, where was God? And God was there with everyone who was helping rescue people in Houston. God is there with all the people in New Orleans who are trying to get their needs back to, you know, get everything back together for them, people who are donating money so they can rebuild their lives. It's because it's our faith that inspires us to do this. We're not just a non-for-profit. We're doing this because our faith compels us to help those who are in need. You know, Jesus says, whenever you did this for at least one of my brothers, you did it for me.
For me.
And so hopefully they see that this is all motivated by love and charity and faith in Christ, because ultimately I think that's what will change their hearts, is if they can see this overwhelming response that is, you know, not normal, and then they can say, well, why are they doing it? You know, every interview I've done, when people have called and said, they always ask, well, why are you doing it? What's our faith that motivates us? and compels us to help those who are in need.
Yeah. Did you hear about the little boy? I forget where he was from. I posted the story on my Facebook page. 5 years old, father, and he has a lemonade stand and makes $400 for the victims. And he did it on his own, his mother said. He came to him and said, I want to do something. And so there's an adorable picture of him in the story that I posted, sitting there at his little table with a big smile, rosy, chubby cheeks, and a baseball cap, and he raised $400 on his own.
Wow. We had something similar this summer. There was a mission speaker who came to our parish to do an appeal for food for the poor. And this, he preached to all the masses, and that weekend, these three little kids went home, set up a lemonade stand on their street. They didn't make $400, but I think they made around $100, and they wanted to contribute that to this Food for the Poor mission. So I love when I see kids who hear the message and that they get it. And
yeah.
Throughout this whole effort, we've had kids every day helping. You know, there's kids as young as 4 years old helping carry a bag of paper towels to the truck, and then we have people 75 years old helping. So it's really been a total community effort, and I love to see that the kids are learning at a young age what it means to help others and to serve others.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we do have a question. Let's see if we can squeeze in Marlene before the break from Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, Marlene. Quickly, hon, and if we can't thank you for calling in real quick, and then you can hang on, and also we'll talk to Father after the break as well. What's your question?
Well, I want to know if there would be a way to help people in the flood area whereby somebody like myself could take somebody in until things get settled. What I really had in mind is that I'm a senior citizen and that there would be another senior citizen down there that,
aww,
you know, say families are down there and they're trying to get their own self settled and everything going on with themselves, and here they got mom who
aww
has the same problem and they got her to take care of too. Well,
all right, well, hang on one second, because that is a beautiful, beautiful question and suggestion, and I'm sure Father would be happy to answer that for you. But I think, too, if you check in with some of these relief agencies, they may be able to help. And also, a lot of the local dioceses in the area, even in your area of Cincinnati, the Archdiocese, there may possibly have set something already up to help. So we'll be right back, and we'll address Marlene's question with Father Tim. Stay tuned.
The Wine Palace in Livonia is a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio. The Wine Palace is a family-owned business for over 60 years where customers come in for great service. The 9,000-square-foot store includes a humidor, specialty wine room, deli, and a rare and collectible spirits room. We have the largest selection of spirits in the state at the most competitive prices. Ask for one of the brothers, Cliff or Kelly, and thank them for their strong support of Catholic Radio. Delivery is available. Please visit the Wine Palace at I-96 in Middlebelt or at winepalace.net.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Old St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church in downtown Detroit, Greektown, invites everyone to the monthly First Friday High Mass in the Tridentine form. Experience the authentic Catholic traditional Latin Mass, including the church's rich musical tradition of Gregorian chant and sacred polyphony. Please join us this Friday, September 1st, at 7 p.m. Free and guarded parking in the church's lot and a reception in the parish center follows the Mass. For more details, visit oldstmarysdetroit.com. That's oldstmarysdetroit.com.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection and EWTN Global Catholic Radio in general. We're chatting with Father Tim, who is from the Archdiocese of New Orleans, who's been able to, by the grace of God and also the help of many wonderful volunteers and folks donating, collect several trucks worth of goods for the affected area. But getting back to Marlene's question, Father, you were saying during the break that it's really important to check with your local Catholic charities or relief services, especially with your diocese. That's where I would start, because as you said, you're coordinating with your archdiocese, who's talking with Cardinal DiNardo, correct?
Correct. Cardinal DiNardo has a team that's working in Houston, and they know where all the needs are. And so our archbishop is in contact with him. And once the, you know, the floodwaters recede and we're able to actually get into Texas and know where the greatest need is, he'll direct our bishop as to where we can send all of our trucks. So I would suggest to her that she calls her local diocese, and they can get in touch through Catholic Charities with Houston, because they're kind of the ones that are coordinating and connecting people. I think it's a great idea what she suggested, because who knows how that idea could blossom into something big. Our whole collecting of items started by one guy in our parish saying, "Hey, Father, let's do something."
Wow!
And here we are doing it.
It's just so beautiful. Marlene, thank you for your beautiful expression of support. And again, as Father suggested, best thing to do is to connect with your local church officials in Cincinnati. Call diocesan officials who are coordinating really with efforts, as Father said, across the country. Because what we don't want to do is get into a situation where we're just sending stuff down there, or kind of, I don't want to say getting in the way, but you have to make sure the infrastructure there is set up to take whatever you need.
Right.
Correct, Father?
Correct. Absolutely. That's why we're waiting to hear from Cardinal DiNardo before just sending several 18-wheelers into their diocese.
Right. And you mentioned the fans. That's very important. We just had Joe McLean on from our Houston affiliate, who said they're looking for the big fans and blowers to help dry out some of these affected buildings. So appreciate your efforts.
Okay.
Father, thanks. And stay strong and keep on keeping on, as we say. And we so appreciate you saying yes to the priesthood.
Thanks, Teresa. God bless you. Thanks for what you do as well.
All right. Thanks. And we'll be right back with another wonderful priest who's now earned the name the Kayaking Priest, Father David Bergeron from the Companions of the Cross, based down in Houston, Texas, taking a look as we wrap up a week of coverage of Hurricane Harvey from a truly Catholic perspective here at EWTN. And don't forget, as Doug mentioned, EWTN News Nightly, the National Catholic Register, all of our great programming that we'll be covering, we'll continue to cover this tragedy and help our brothers and sisters in need. We'll be right back.
Come out and enjoy summer before it's gone. St. Charles in Newport, located 1 mile east of Exit 21 on I-75, is having their parish festival from Friday, September 8th to Sunday, September 10th. Come and enjoy live entertainment, delicious food and craft beer, a huge rummage sale, softball tournament, and much, much more. Visit the parish website at stcharlesnewport.org for more information. That's stcharlesnewport.org. See you there.
Holy Spirit Roman Catholic School is the number one elementary school in the Diocese of Lansing in language arts and mathematics. Their children pray every day. Located off US 23, south of Brighton, take exit 55. Holy Spirit is founded on the belief that they must educate the minds, bodies, and souls of children through faith and academics in accordance with the teachings of the Church. Tuition rates are very affordable, and their teaching staff is top-notch. Come see them at holyspiritrcs.org.
You have choices, but you're not pro-choice. At Charity Mobile, they realize that you have choices when it comes to mobile phone service. Charity Mobile is the pro-life mobile phone company. They send 5% of your monthly plan cost to the pro-life charity of your choice and have sent charities nearly $2 million to date. Charity Mobile provides great service and coverage on America's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. And there are no contracts, no termination fees, and no risk with their 30-day trial. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today. Mention Ave Maria Radio and get a free 4G LTE smartphone, plus free activation and free shipping. Life is calling. Take it with you. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today. That's CharityMobile.com.
Minutes past the hour. It's an honor to have Father David Bergeron back on with us from the Companions of the Cross. He is based in Houston, Texas, there with the Catholic Charismatic Center, and you may have seen the beautiful video of him that's gone viral and has given him the name, the Kayaking Priest. He was hoping just a few days ago to try to get to his parishioners to celebrate Mass. That didn't happen because of the conditions, but nonetheless, he gave a beautiful witness about the celebration of the Mass and the body and blood of Jesus, and certainly it made a huge difference. Father, thanks for joining us. How are you? Where are you right now in terms of your location?
Thank you, Larissa. Yes, I'm doing very well. I'm at my home. I just had a holy hour, and we're dry, and we're making efforts for relieving the sorrows and the pains of some of our parishioners. So it's we're all getting together. The body of Christ is receiving communion. We have our normal masses, and we're getting together as well, especially for those who are suffering the most.
I was just talking to another priest from the Archdiocese of New Orleans who's getting together some goods, truckloads full actually, to bring to Houston to help those who are impacted. And I asked him, and I'll ask you the same question, in terms of it must be painful but also such a gift to be able to minister at such a difficult time.
Yes, exactly. We had an overflow of water, but now we have an overflow of goodness and donations. Yesterday, we just received two truckloads, 18-wheeler and a smaller truck of goods, lots of water, diapers, toys, and this was from West Texas, from Odessa, Midland. And so yesterday, we worked until midnight to try to unload that. It's hard to unload such a big truck mm-hmm. in a church, and so we have a friend who has his place, and so we unloaded there first, and then he came with his truck. And then we were able to just put all the stuff together. And after every one of our masses, we've canceled all our events because the people need to do so much work in their home and just comfort each other in their little communities or friends and families. But what we're doing is that after every mass, people will really be invited to bring things back with them so that they can give to the most needy. And so it is beautiful gestures. Houston is coming together for us. We serve both in English and in Spanish, and the camaraderie and everything of those two communities who are now one because we were all in the same boat. Mm-hmm. Boat is a kind of a play on word in the water, mm-hmm. but the boat is also the church, and we're all in the same boat as well in the suffering body of Christ, but also the risen body of Christ, and so it's very beautiful.
Wow. We're talking with Father David Bergeron, and you may know him from the beautiful video that went viral earlier this week. You know, he was kayaking, trying to reach his prisoners. What impact has that video had? What kind of response have you gotten from the video, Father?
Well, interestingly enough, you're interview number 22, so I'm more than
wow.
interviews now. I have one scheduled even for BBC Radio tomorrow. Going across the ocean, and hopefully it can bring an ocean of mercy, and that the people can give their life to Jesus Christ and just really surf the wave of mercy. And this is what we need. We need so much hope. And this is obviously a very tragic, difficult situation for so many. But if it brings hope, and I'm very edified by the attitude of our people. I was just texting one of our employees this morning. And she was sending me pictures with the smiles of the work that has been done. We need to focus on Jesus, because if we don't, we lose focus and then we drown.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday they were even walking in the streets still flooded, and they were trying to focus on Jesus. And they saw something big swim close to them. I don't know if it was an alligator or whatever, and that's not exactly what they said, but could have been, but they just kept focused on Jesus. And so I think this is the lesson or the attitude we need to have. And with that, we have nothing to fear. He's the one who tells us again and again, be not afraid. Even those words of our character Pope, John Paul II, be not afraid.
Mm. Now, do you know, Father, because there's this video, and we're trying to see if we can play some of the audio from it. We don't know if it'll be audible enough for air, but there was a very sad video that went viral. Actually, my spiritual director gave it to me. We were talking about the situation earlier this week, and he posted it on the parish Facebook page, and so I posted it on my page as well. A pastor from St. Ignatius Parish, which is pretty much engulfed in the water, and I think it has close to 600,000 views. Do we know yet, Father? Have you heard from the Archdiocese, how many of the physical structures, the churches, in terms of parishes, are hurt from the flood damage?
No, I have not heard yet. But all the efforts need to be put together for sure. And even those parishes, because the church is affected, I'm sure that the members as well of the body of that church are affected. And so that's one thing that we could do for us, because we have tons of goods that needs to be distributed. And so we'll do that from our parishioners. But at the center, people come from all around the Archdiocese of Houston-Galveston. And so I hope this can spread not only to our geographical area, but because we have such an extended territory and not being a parish, people come here hopefully to be fed and to be empowered in the Holy Spirit. So we need to continue to get together. And I'm very happy that today I was able to be a priest, more than a kayak priest. I went kayaking yesterday, but today I was able, because of the timing as well of the interview, to just spend some extended time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So,
amen to
it's
that.
It's good to be Martha right now, and we also need to be, not to forget to be Mary. And so to be seated at the feet of Jesus, taught there, receive the enthusiasm, the dynamism, and then go as Martha that we're called to be as well.
Amen. Now, you said you've had, this is interview number 22, so you spoke with us earlier, but how many, earlier this week, so how many of all the interviews you've done in addition to speaking with us here at EWTN have been, let's say, Catholic or other Christian outlets versus secular outlets? I'm just curious, Father. Yeah, I mean, maybe if you didn't count, but just kind of an average, if you could compare.
I think it's only 5 or 6, and so that's beautiful in the sense that the secular media are open to it, and as we were not on air, we said bonjour, and so I was saying that a lot. And then I would usually end the interview even the secular ones, with, like we say here, even the French ones, God bless y'all. And so this was a way to try to point to Jesus, point to God. I have to say that the toughest questions I've been asked was from a secular media, and had to do with, some people say it's a punishment from God. And I know we had heard that for New Orleans as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm putting myself now by bringing that very tough question in a difficult situation. And yes, it's not an easy question to answer, but for sure God is infinite love. God is a father, and God wants to teach us things, but he's not the one who wants to punish us.
No, he doesn't go around zapping people. But that's, you know, there's this,
he
allows things to happen. You know, he allows things to happen, and he gives us free will. And I was speaking with another wonderful priest this morning earlier on my program, Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life, and we know that we live in a fallen world, and that we know that creation also suffers from this fallen world. But
yeah,
it's not a punishment from God in the sense of, I'm going to zap you because the United States or this part of the world did this, that, or the other thing. Things happen. God gives us free will, and we respond to do what we're supposed to do as believers. Did I get it right?
Exactly.
Did I get it A in theology,
amen,
or A minus?
Yes. 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 No, you have an A for amen.
I'm married to a deacon, so it helps.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, so that means that you went through the schooling yourself. Praise
yes, I did. Yes, I did, and I learned so much and still have so much. Well, Father, God love you, and let's keep in touch. And thanks for being there. Thanks for being so faithful. And thank you for your willingness to do these interviews. And we're going to pray that you're able to continue what you've been doing, and that's witnessing the love of Christ and the beauty of the Catholic Church. And on this BBC interview tomorrow, of all places, right?
Yeah, so thank you to pray for them to understand my French-Canadian accent and me to understand their British accent. And long live the Queen of Peace.
Amen, amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Star of the Sea, Queen of Peace, pray for us every day. Thanks, Father. God love you.
Yes.
Thanks. We'll be right
thank
back
you very
on
much.
The Connection. Oh, wait a minute. We don't have to take another break. I can talk to you for a few more minutes. Okay. All right, more questions. So, in terms of your schedule this weekend, in addition to interviews, what are you doing in terms of masses? Are you doing anything extra in your schedule?
So, I'm happy that you asked, because here in Houston, and I'm sure that many people are listening from Houston or the area, at the Catholic Charismatic Center, like I said, we receive so many goods that needs to be distributed. And what we do is that we have an effort from 3 till 5, that people need to even work in their own homes. But from 3 till 5, they're invited to come, and then they start with prayer. We start with prayer, the Divine Mercy at 3 o'clock, obviously. And from there, we separate in different teams. So the houses that need the most, we have a center here for a kind of a satellite campus that was flooded. And some people who cannot work physically as much do the spiritual work. So they are the engine that allows for the rest of the people to be able to do what they need to do, sometimes in bad smells and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. And so this is an effort from 3 till 5. And then at 5 o'clock, reposition, and then we pray together again. And so for the rest of our schedule, this is the masses. So we don't have other activities. We canceled all our other events for the people to be able to get together and to continue to bring hope to others and to also connect to hope. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior. So
beautiful. Well, now we can let you go because it's 55 minutes before the hour and the music's going to play soon. Well, Father, again, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll continue to pray for you and for your people in Houston. And we're all in this together. When one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. We are the body of Christ, so we have to remember that. And coming up on Monday, of course, we're off because it's the Memorial Day. That was a Freudian slip. I wish we could start all over with summer. We are going to be off for Labor Day, of course. And then on Tuesday, so excited that Annie Carto, Catholic singer and songwriter, will be joining me with her brand new CD dedicated to Our Lady of Fatima. And then our, of course, wonderful chairman of the board of EWTN, Michael Warsaw, will be joining us all about our new offices over in Great Britain. Have a blessed weekend. Be not afraid. Speak the truth in love and pray for Houston. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shields.
The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. How many times do we say that? Unexpected death, unexpected serious illness, relationships broken, people fired from their work, just all kinds of things that can radically shift our lives. And the first thing we say is, the Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me. Why would God allow this? God always brings good and, in fact, greater good out of our difficulties if we allow Him to teach us and we rely on Him and He walks us through the situation. We will gain wisdom of heart, and it's priceless. The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Hang in there when things are difficult and dark. Say, Lord, I trust you. I don't feel it, but I trust you. I make a decision to trust you, that you will bring good out of these very difficult circumstances. That's growing in faith, and God will bless it abundantly.
Sister